Good morning. We are talking with Prairie du Chien School District Superintendent Andy Benasik. Good morning, Andy. Good
morning, Laura. How you doing?
I know you have kind of been the topic of a lot of media interviews lately, and maybe not the funnest part of your job, but of course, there's been lots of talk. There was a measure on the ballot back in November. Essentially, enrollment is down, and the district can't meet its operating costs. That the short end of the version, or the short end of the story?
No, it really is. And we look at things from district enrollment. Enrollment has been declining here the last couple of years, and it's going to be declining here the next 3 or 4 years and hopefully plateau here, you know, by 28, 29, or 29, 30. But when you're talking, you have 1,200 students in a district, and you're down to be under 900 in our district, 4K to 12th grade starting next year. How do we maintain our programming that we've had here and our three buildings of B.A. Kennedy, Bluffview, and High School? We're a district at some time is going to have to probably look at us going to two buildings, or how do we use the other building as we look at it? So we look at different options there. And so in our first referendum, operating referendum, we talked, you know, our budget was, we talked about $10 million for 4 years and one to maintain programming. But we've heard from our community as it got voted down is that, Andy, you need to look at some of those reductions, which we are. So our board Monday night passed operating referendum that will be on our April 1st ballot for $1.75 million each year for the next 4 years for a total of $7 million. So we've taken that $10 million down to $7 million because we know we're going to have to make reductions with our staff based on our declining enrollment.
This is something you can see. I mean, you can see a kindergarten class coming in and going, oh, either the town's going to have to change, something massive is going to have to happen, or in, you know, 6-7 years, we've got an issue coming.
Very true, Lori. And I, there's a housing development information out there, and they talk about how there's growth in our 6-year-olds and up in our community, and there's a declining enrollment in our 20 to 29-year-olds with that. So we know that's coming, and we see that in our class sizes. You know, we have class sizes anywhere from 50 to 70 students from 4K through 5th grade. And our class sizes used to be 100, 110 students per class. And then with also the number of students that come from Prairie Catholic after 8th grade. And so we'd have class size anywhere from 110 to 135. We're not going to have that anymore. We're in that 50 to 70 range here in the future. And so with that is because of that, that's why you're going to have those reductions, and that's why staff will be teaching multiple grade levels as we go through here from middle school to high school.
Yeah, and so it's a transition. It's something you can see coming. So this is really kind of being preventative going forward. Like, hey, we know this is coming. We need to plan for the future.
Yep. And that's why we've had a discussion about what buildings do we possibly close, or how do we work together? Is there other entities that we could use our buildings as a possibility? And we'll keep doing that in some of our communities that we're forming here, starting here in February, with it to get that information out. So we know it's there. We love to see our town grow, but I think it's proof here the last 10 years our population hasn't grown when you're talking to youth and age and that stuff. So how do we provide a great education for our families here in the Prairie du Chien School District while also a declining enrollment and not having the funding that we used to have maybe 10 to 15 years ago?
Because you want, you know, the kids who are in 4K and kindergarten right now, you want them to have the same experiences that the seniors right now are having.
It really does, Lori. And we had a 3K program at one time. We did a great job. We just couldn't afford that because there was no funding for it. But we did 10 years of that. And so that 3K led to 4K to help those students from reading and math and really help with a major problem we have in our community is daycare.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helped them by maintaining having a full-time 4K. So because of that, it allowed us to do dual credit when they got to high school, allowed us to have some of those AP or advanced placement offerings with it because they were in school at 3 and 4 years old to help with that, getting that based on our staff did a great job of getting that based on for reading and math to support that. So it just makes it a little bit more difficult when you're not, you don't have that student until 4 year old now. And then what does that look like as we talk about programming? As we go through, there's going to be some things that are going to have to be cut or deleted, reduced, and we know that. And those are the things that we're going to have to work through here in the next 12 months.
And, you know, that's not something you're shying away from either, is admitting like, hey, you know, when you see a budget and you see more in the red, you're like, okay, we have to cut something to try and get back into the black. And, you know, nobody wants to see cuts in education. And education has weirdly become kind of a polarizing subject. Also, nobody has ever wanted to say, I would like to pay more taxes. So it becomes a really kind of hot button topic within communities when you have these referendums, because you want what's best for the children, because in turn, those children stay and keep a community flourishing. That's ultimately the goal. You want, kids that turn into highly functioning adults who contribute to society, which education does that. but at the same time, as a household, you're looking at your own household budget going, I can't afford to pay more taxes. And it becomes a very individualistic and very polarizing thing, because you know as well as I do that the one thing that you kind of can't mess with is people's money. You know, they get really upset when you start messing with their checkbook. So it really becomes this kind of division within a community. And I don't know what the best way, and if there is a community out there who's figured out how to do this, is to kind of bring that community together. And I know you talked about like listening sessions and just engaging with the community. And hopefully that will kind of help so that the school district can say, hey, here's what we are doing.
You're right, Lori. And we found on our previous operating referendum, we had some community meetings. We met with some businesses, but our community meetings were not well attended. And since that referendum did get shot down, we talked about some different ideas for our buildings. We've had more people attend our board meetings here because we run board meetings every 2 weeks because we've had our working sessions. Than better attendance, I think we're getting that information out there more. And it's frustrating for a taxpayer. I totally understand it.
Cause you're a taxpayer,
I'm
too.
I'm a taxpayer, too, is how we're going to spend that dollar on that. What I can say from a school standpoint, we had a $750,000 roofing project in the last 5 years. That money was put in our fund balance from our board, saving that, where a lot of school districts have to go to referendum to get that roofing project. We didn't. We have a mill rate that is below the state average. We're at 594. Our state average is in the middle sevens. It's going to go up because of all the other referendums that were passed here this previous fall. So we've been good stewards of our money. The board has done a great job with this and helping the fund balance. So for us to balance the budget this year, we had to take out of our fund balance. We can't continue to keep doing that. And so how can we be good stewards of that taxpayer? Because I know it's frustration when you look at the four entities from city, county, school, and Southwest Tech and how that percentage may be going up and we're expecting more of our taxpayers. But we also, like you talked about, is we've gotten a lot of return back because we have, I would say, adults coming back in our community, supporting our community as maybe it's an educator. Now they're a teacher. They graduated from Prairie Sheen. Maybe they taught in the suburbs for a few years, and now at 30, 35 years old, they're coming back, and that's great to see. And also coming back and being a business person in our community and doing that. So, and that's what we need more of, and we got to keep doing that because we got to provide those opportunities for our kids, our youth. And that's the only way something's going to change and get better is what do we provide for our youth, and that's why it's pretty important. And we got to be able to get that message out. And we'll have some more meetings as we move forward here. We'll have a plan put together and how we want to get that message out for our kids. And then what does our community want out of their education? We're going to listen to them. And what do they want for our kids and our students here and for them to move out of Prairie Sheen? Also the ability to be able to come back and bring get back to the community.
And I think it's important to remember, too, how the world has changed. You know, you're a little bit older than me. So your high school experience is vastly different than mine. You know, my schooling experience is vastly different from kids today. And it's very easy to say, well, I didn't have that when I was in high school and I turned out just fine. Yeah, but the world wasn't what it is today. You know, I went to college and got out of school under $30,000. I don't think you can do that unless you're, you know, I went to a four-year university for under $30,000. I don't know that that's possible in today's world. There are more community college options too. That's great. But the world has changed. You know, the price of things has changed. How you go into the adult world has changed. So it's hard to say, well, I didn't have that or we didn't need that when I was in school. But the world has changed. And I think the more we realize that, the more we can understand where you guys are coming from, too.
It really has. You know, a four-year education, if you're taking loans out, it's going to be very costly for you. So I think you see a lot of students from post-secondary going to look in that two-year college, looking at the military, or going to work to start. And what Prairie Sheen has done a great job is the dual credit. We've had many students that maybe pick up a year of their college credits done right at the high school and also have their credits done for graduation, which is awesome for those families and supporting that.
Because it's at no cost to them.
It's at no cost to them. And it's no additional cost to us because it's just providing, because our teachers have done a great job of having the licensure to be able to have that ability for the dual credit. Our teachers have done a great job of that 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds, getting them ready for that opportunity when they're in middle school and high school. So that's where it has changed, because I think, you know, maybe yourself or myself, but we didn't have any college credits at that time back when we were going to high school, and you went. And like you said, you didn't have those big loans at the end, but you got to be good stewards with your money now. Because someday those loans you're going to have to pay back. they're going to be there, and you're also going to have a house payment, you're going to have a car payment. So how do you balance that with the salary that you're going to start with?
Yeah. And, you know, taxes.
And taxes,
that would be
yes.
a thing, too. So really, I think what your goal right now is just to listen to the community, but also at the same point, hope the community actually takes the time to listen to the district and what you are actually trying to do, even though it is a polarizing topic, even though nobody wants to talk about raising taxes, but understanding, you know, how you're trying to keep this budget balanced and what you're trying to do to solve, you know, offset some of those costs.
It really is. And we're here to listen. And that's why we're putting that committee together. We'll have surveys out. They'll be online or mail. So when you get those surveys, please fill those out. And we want to hear what you want from your school district. What do you want that to look like 4 years from now, 10 years from now? And that's why we only went for the referendum for 4 years, because it is hard for us to vision through that crystal ball right now. What is education going to be like 10 years from now? So we know we're going to have to reconvene in 3 or 4 years. Okay, what does our district look like now again after this possibly operating referendum being passed? Or where's our school district going now a year from now, and where do we want to go with it as we get that information back?
All right. We've been talking with Andy Banasek, Prairie du Chien School District Superintendent. I know you said you have school board meetings every 2 weeks. So you had one Monday night?
Had one Monday night. That's where we passed the referendum. We'll have a working session here in the month. And then it's always the second Monday of the month at 5:30. We host those right in our little theater. So if anybody would like to come and be a part of that, they're more than welcome. We'd love to see them, because the board agendas are posted Friday before we start.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time to chat with us this morning. Talking with Andy Banasek, school superintendent for the Prairie du Chien School District.